from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It's the 22nd day of December 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, the House of Representatives has passed a sweeping package of food safety legislation and sent it to the president's desk for signature. And China's Ministry of Commerce has issued a statement on that country's need to replenish reserves of farm production products, including corn, cotton, and sugar. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. You know, it's Christmas time, and that means I get to pull out one of my favorite holiday stories. Just this past weekend, I was looking at my National Association of Farm Broadcasting toy tractor collection. It started 8 years ago with an Oliver 1855. It's still my favorite because, well, Dad bought an 1850 LP, that's propane, the year I was born. So stay with us and I'll tell you all about it. Hey, don't forget that Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will be here in just 26 minutes to talk about the agricultural weather forecast and the Christmas weather outlook on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day higher in the nearby March contract for the soft red winter wheat at $7.83.5. The May at $8.09.75, up 17.25. That March, by the way, up 18.5. July futures at $8.22.5, up 16.25. And September, $8.36.25, up 16.75. March corn futures, $6.09, up 6.75. The May at $6.17, up 6.75. July corn, $6.21.25, up 7 cents. September at $5.73.5, up a nickel. And December at $5.50, up 4.25. January beans at $13.28.75, up 2.5 cents today. March at $13.39.75, up 2.25. The May at $13.46.75, 2.25 higher. And November beans at $12.48.5, down 1.25. December live cattle futures at $104.12.5, a $1.27.5 higher. January feeders at $121.67.5, up 32.5 cents. And February lean hog futures, $78.87.5, up $2.90 for 100 pounds. You're listening to Illinois Public Media and the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Futures in the crude oil trading the February contract at $90.51 a barrel, up 69 cents. Ethanol at 227.9, 2.3 cents higher. Natural gas at 414, up 8.1 cents, or 8.1 cents, that is. And January heating oil at 252.9, up 1.2 cents for the day. Gold futures at $1,386.80, down $1.40. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,556, just about 24 points higher. And the dollar at 80.72 is up 0.01 on the day. The weather forecast says it's not going to be very pretty over the next couple of days. In fact, the National Weather Service has issued a hazardous weather outlook for many of the counties in Illinois, mostly in the lower two-thirds. They say hazardous weather is possible in portions of central Illinois and east central Illinois and southeastern Illinois over the next several hours and through the next couple of days, with a very moist air mass in place and diminishing winds expected. Areas of fog will develop across central Illinois tonight. Motorists are advised to drive with caution during the Thursday morning commute, as visibilities tomorrow will be restricted at times and scattered slick spots will develop on area roads. Days 2 through 7, that's Thursday through Tuesday of next week, an upper-level winter storm is expected to move southeast into Illinois Thursday night and Friday, beginning accumulating snows to central and bringing, rather, accumulating snows to central and southeastern Illinois. There remains significant uncertainty regarding the amount of snowfall that will occur, but it certainly will occur. The largest amounts to the west will pile up at least in 4-inch amounts.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Tim Wells in Moline at 309-797-7369. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
This is the Closing Market Report. It's a Thursday, or rather a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Merry Christmas to you.
Tip of the hat, and I wish you and your family the very best.
The same to you as well. Hey, not a bad day in Chicago. Futures were higher in the wheat and the corn, and just a bit higher in the soybeans. Tell me about it, please.
Well, yes, it was a dynamic day. We did see higher crude oil prices. The private weather people, after you grab them and put your foot on their head, they basically said, well, that northeast area of Argentina is going to get some rain, but it's going to be stingy, very stingy, over 40 or 50% of the remaining growing areas. Minor, but it's extremely important. And you know, obviously with warm temperatures before and basically warm weather, you know, the next 10 days after this, and as one weatherman said, when you walk in on Sunday night, everybody will forget about that rainfall on Thursday in the third place, Cooley. So that was basically the bottom line there. So the big factor here is that there's not a lot of grain for sale here or in the world, and we continue to see steady buyers around the world. And then the other thing that sparked the wheat market was Turkey is basically in the market for 1 million tons of wheat, which firmed that market up in all three exchanges in the United States.
So it's about China, I suppose, at this time. The Commerce Department there saying, hey, we're going to have to replenish our stocks. That's kind of unusual for them. And about weather in South America, right?
Yeah, and there was a large robo-bank basically went out and put out a 7-point bulletin to their global customers that basically indicated that you know, commodities are going to be a very important game in everybody's portfolio this coming year, and the fundamentals look pretty darn strong.
As we got into the beginning of December, actually the ninth day, you managed to come in for Commodity Week, and we did a look back and a look forward. The look back is already aired and up on our website as a podcast. I posted that look forward with Michael Cordonnier of Corn and Soybean Advisor last night, and he takes a pretty good look at the Argentine soybean and corn crop in that one. Want to thank you for sure for coming in and doing that program, and make sure that people visit the podcast page at willag.org for Commodity Week and take a listen to it early. It won't air on the radio station until December 31st and January 1, I suppose.
Yeah, he made some, and he's a wonderful man, and to you know, spend time with us. And, you know, basically he mentioned about three things. He thought the U.S. crop was going to get smaller. He basically, if he was going to buy farmland, it would probably be instead of Argentina or South America, it would basically be Brazil. And he basically, we did talk a little bit about the Chinese crop, and he thinks the Chinese do mislead some of the world markets with some, you know, unconfirmed large production estimates. And of course that gives you know, unfortunately, the USDA some major problems in price forecasting.
So those who would like to listen to Michael Cordonnier on Commodity Week can do that early, because it won't air not this weekend but the following weekend, the weekend of the first weekend of the new year. You can, though, visit our website at willag.org, or if you're signed up for the podcast and you've had your iTunes or whatever reader you're using open already, should have downloaded. Hope that you get there and take a listen to that. Any end-of-the-year advice or predictions you want to talk about?
Yeah. You know, I get the feeling that, you know, people are very optimistic. People have very small bets on as far as major trends in the marketplace. They're very conservative. there is this continued steady diet that we're in a major bubble, and I think that's one reason why people are so conservative. And we are at higher price levels, too, that also tempers the deal. But I think we have to be very optimistic in the grain commodities, and hopefully we are at a major bottom in the U.S. economy. Unfortunately, the big problem still is the housing problem, and that's a nightmare that's probably going to be around for another year.
Are you feeling good about agriculture over the coming year?
Yes, I am. I think, you know, it was extremely important that they passed the blending credits for ethanol and biodiesel. And I think it's a real plus deal for the Midwest economy. And I think that helps stabilize, often a bumpy road for our U.S. farmers.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
Have a profitable day, and we'll watch the overnight rainfall and the forecast for tomorrow.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you.
Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report that happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
And if you'd like to hear what Paul Cooley had to say again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org, willag.org. There you can find all of our daily agricultural programming, from the pre-opening to the closing market report, everything in between, and then our Saturday program, Commodity Week. It's all at willag.org. While you're there, you can sign up to have it delivered automatically to your computer as a podcast. Just look for the podcast page, or if you want to visit iTunes and you happen to be in the iTunes store, well, search my name. You'll find the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Search willag.org, and you should find all of our podcasts. We're doing everything we can to reach out to the producers of Mid-America and the Midwest, the nation, and the globe, to bring them good and sound advice on commodity marketing and agricultural weather. Dave Dickey is here now. He's the Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. He has today's look at the agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the House has passed a sweeping bill aimed at making food safer following recent contamination in peanuts, eggs, and produce, sending it to President Barack Obama for his signature. The legislation would give the government broad new powers to inspect processing plants, order recalls, and impose stricter standards for imported foods. The $1.4 billion bill would also require larger farms and food manufacturers to prepare detailed food safety plans and tell the Food and Drug Administration how they are working to keep their food safe at different stages of production. The bill would not apply to meat, poultry, or processed eggs, which are regulated by the Agriculture Department. China's Commerce Ministry today says that the country will increase imports of key agricultural commodities, which are in tight supply, in 2011 to replenish central government reserves. The government will increase reserves of sugar and meat, among other dairy-needed products. China is facing tight supplies of major farm products, including corn, cotton, and sugar. The ministry will also assist Chinese companies in expanding the sources of supplies of grains and cotton so that companies can increase imports to ease domestic supply pressure whenever prices favor imports. A survey of Chinese consumers by the Chinese newspaper People's Daily finds that a high percentage are concerned about antibiotics being used in Chinese animal feed and are demanding appropriate labeling to indicate how livestock are fed. 90% of respondents said they were worried about health hazards posed by the intake of unwanted antibiotics through meat consumption and called for mandatory labeling. The newspaper's online survey followed late November's Chinese media reports that revealed feeding antibiotics to livestock is a common industry practice in China. Medical researchers and practitioners in China also are becoming concerned about the use of animal antibiotics. The Commerce Department today says that U.S. economic growth was a touch higher than previously estimated in the third quarter, but below expectations as a rise in the pace of inventory accumulation was offset by downward revisions to consumer spending. Gross domestic product growth was revised up to an annualized rate of 2.6% from 2.5%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, the Illinois Farm Economic Summits that just finished up. You can find them now on the website at farmdoc.illinois.edu. If not now, very, very soon. They're still working to get some of the podcast up. And of the Corn and Soybean Classic Series that's coming up the first and second week of January. By the way, you can still pre-register through tomorrow for the Corn and Soybean Classic Series. Visit CropSciConferences.com. That's CropSciConferences, all one word, .com. Up next this Christmas Eve, farm boys and girls all over the nation will be waiting not so patiently for Santa to bring them a tractor, just like their dads. And if they're lucky, it'll be American-made from Dyersville, Iowa. That's the home of Joseph Ertl, toy maker. What I want from Santa this year is a toy tractor. Well, Santa actually already brought it to me. He made it himself. It's a Meadow Green Oliver, 1955, trimmed in clover white with orange and black to set it off. And this little toy tractor is the first model he's ever made with a radio mounted right there on the fender. It's just like the one I clung to as a little boy when Dad and I went to the field. My Santa is Joe Ertl of Dyersville, Iowa. For 50 years, the company his dad founded has made the dreams of little and big farm boys come true.
Now I'm only 5 years old. I've got to do just what I'm told. Santa Claus is going to be dropping in on me.
Max Armstrong, farm broadcaster, WGN U.S. Farm Report, Chicago. Every kid loves a tractor. There's no doubt in my mind, boys love tractors. And as we get a little bit older, some of us who grew up on those tractors think back to those days. I mean, when I look at my Farm All Super M or the Super H, I think about days of sitting in that tractor, bringing in a load of corn when I was a little boy, and coming in on a chilly October night with that moon coming up over the corn stalks. Or I think about cultivating corn down to the Wabash Bottoms. I was on one tractor and Dad was on another. You know, there's just something very, very special, especially if it's a tractor that Dad had. You know, there's an emotion that gets wrapped up in that.
It is an emotion that Max Armstrong knows all too well, and one that has made Joseph Ertl's toy tractors worth a lot of money. At this auction in November, to benefit scholarships for future farm broadcasters, Max spent $300 on a 1/8-inch scale Farmall MD. It's special for many reasons.
That's an M diesel, and this one is special because it's a 50th anniversary tractor. On the frame of that tractor are raised letters pointing out that it's the 50th year of toy making for Joseph Ertl, the legendary toy maker who owns Scale Model Toys.
Would you like me to put anything up here on the your name or anything?
Joe Ertl is a celebrity in his own right, and for years his autograph has been sought after. Like Santa, he gives it freely.
Can you write, thanks for support of farm broadcasting?
I'll date it there for you, too. And
you've done this before.
Yeah, a few thousand times.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your
welcome.
Help.
Thank you for supporting.
Well, it started way back in 1945 when my father was on strike at a local foundry, and he started making castings in his basement. And one day he made a farm toy, and I was 10 years old at the time, And at that time, the toy tractor sold so well, he never went back to his job again. Of course, I grew up with the business. And then when I was in my senior year of high school, I started taking drafting courses. And we went from sand casting to die casting, and we had to have drawings. So I started making the drawings for the toys, and I've been designing them ever since.
Today, Joe Ertl's company is called Scale Models, and he still loves to design and make toy tractors, in large part, he says, because the farm community has welcomed him into its vast family called agriculture.
It's been a pleasure for me to work my whole life here in the designing of these toys, which have made so many people happy. You know, the farmers have really been great to our family, and I can't think of anything more wholesome than a little toy tractor and to be a pretend a farmer. It's so much better than some of these toys I've seen made over the year, and it's been a pleasure for me to be associated with the farmers and the farming industry and everything. It's just been a wonderful life.
That's a Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine.
If you're lucky, what you'll find under your Christmas tree this year is a toy tractor made by Joseph Ertl in Dyersville, Iowa. That's what's on the top of my list. Well, by the way, thanks in advance, Santa. Your friend, Todd Gleason at the University of Illinois.
But could there be something I might have missed? I had quite a few things on my list. I hope he can fit it all under that Christmas tree. I hope he can fit it all under my Christmas tree. Let's see, I know he can fit the, he'll fit the airplane under there. He can get that bicycle in there and a gumball machine. And I don't know what he's going to do with that horse.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. The National Weather Service says the next several days will be a little rough across the Midwest, but if you're looking for snow, allow Santa to make his landing. That'll happen for you. Here's what they have to say about the weather. They say a very moist air mass is in place and diminishing winds are expected. So areas of fog will develop across central Illinois tonight. Motorists, of course, are advised to drive with caution during Thursday morning's commute, as visibilities will be restricted at times and scattered slick spots will develop on area roads. As we go through the next several days, an upper-level winter storm is expected to move southeast into Illinois Thursday night and Friday. That'll bring accumulating snows to central and southeastern Illinois. And there remains significant uncertainty regarding the amount of snowfall that will occur. However, at this point, it appears that areas west of Interstate 55 will see 3 to 4 inches of snow, with locally heavier totals toward the Illinois River. 2 to 3 inches are likely between the I-55 and I-57 corridors, with an inch or two along the Indiana border. More information will be delivered by this radio station and the National Weather Service as we move through the winter holiday.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
I'll return in just 2 minutes here on the Closing Market Report when we, in fact, will talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
It's National Date Nut Bread Day. It's also the winter solstice, shortest day of the year. On this day in agricultural history in 1882, Edward Johnson, an associate of Thomas Edison, strung his Christmas tree with electric lights, the first time that's happened in history. Christmas tree lights quickly became all the rage among wealthy Americans, and they flocked to snap up those made by the Edison General Electric Company. Those early lights came in strings of 9 sockets, each with a miniature 2-candle-power 32-volt carbon filament lamp. In 1884, John Simpson Chisholm died, an American cattle rancher. In 1867, he blazed the Chisholm Trail from San Antonio, Texas to Abilene, Kansas. Cattle drives up the trail often took up to 2 months, and there were risks from rustlers, conflicts with Native Americans, to the difficulties in crossing the Arkansas and Red Rivers. Chisholm developed the largest cattle herd in the United States. And in 1943, Beatrix Potter died, an English author of children's books. Her first was the most famous, perhaps, The Tale of Peter Rabbit, originally written as an illustrated letter to a sick child. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. Drew Lerner of World Weather in Kansas City is with us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Merry Christmas, Todd.
Merry Christmas to you as well. Will Santa Claus be able to ride the sleigh in on snow throughout the Midwest?
I think so. You know, there's plenty of snow that is out there already. We've got a little disturbance that's going to come and go before we get to Christmas Eve across a fairly large part of the region. I think the only place where snow will still be falling on the night of Christmas there will probably be over the lower parts of the Midwest and headed off towards the Mid-Atlantic coastal region. It'll be light, so his visibility will be fine, and he should be able to make his work without any serious interruptions. And for those of us on the surface, we're likely to see that white Christmas in a very large part of the Midwest this year, and it's not just here. So in a large part of the world, I think we've seen a lot of snow in recent weeks, so a lot of folks will be joining us in that way.
Any one weather phenomenon across the globe that's causing all of the snow?
Well, we could talk about sunspots and how the sun's cooling off and the earth is cooling off, but I think that would be a little extreme for our short little period of talk here. But I think the bottom line here is that we just have a very active atmosphere right now. We are kind of cooling things down after all the record heat that occurred last summer, and that's causing a lot of storminess to develop as the atmosphere does cool down a bit. And I think that's the only excuse we can give it for right now.
Let me turn your attention to South America. How are the crops faring in Argentina?
Well, we continue to worry a little bit about the crops down there. It's been pretty dry, as you know. A very large portion of the corn country now has recently become quite dry, and that region's not likely to see much more than about 0.6 inch of rain over the coming week, and temperatures will be getting into the 90s, perhaps up around 100 degrees periodically, so we are going to see further stress to the crop down there and lose some yield potential. The soybean crop is still early enough along in its development that it has potential to recover, but it too has been stressed out in recent weeks, and we do need to see a more routine occurrence of rainfall across the region in order to support the best yields.
Does that go for Brazil as well, or is it in a different situation?
I think most of Brazil is looking very good right now. There's not a serious amount of dryness anywhere to be found at the moment. We've had some pockets of dryness in recent weeks, but none of it festered into anything major. But keep in mind that we were late getting some of the crop planted, and we did lose a little yield because of that. Now we're focusing in on January because there's a pretty good chance that some of the southernmost states in Brazil will likely turn drier than usual in that month. If this is going to be a typical La Nina, and if that does indeed occur, we may lose some yield potential there as well. But it's not going to be a major crisis, I don't believe.
Any other growing regions around the globe that cause you concern?
Well, we're still worried about getting the rest of that Australia crop out of the ground. It's been so terribly wet over there because of La Nina, and the wet weather bias is prevailing in New South Wales, which is where a big part of the wheat crop is still waiting for a good long period of dryness to come along to be harvested. And we just don't see it. I think we've got 3 out of the next 7 days it'll be dry, but it's so wet in some of these fields that they won't be able to get any progress done.
Drew, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, and have a good day.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason, bidding you a good afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.